Reading from the Dear Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 7, Text 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And how we can do it in my life. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Ajapavate Bhomata Asmine Vashine Maya Chitra Kati Kati Swapna Jagrateva Navikshita. The Supreme Lord said, Dear Mother, this morning during my sleep, I saw many amazing things in just a short moment, as if I were awake. Commentary, years ago, before coming to Mathura, Krishna considered Braja his only real home. Reverting now to that earlier mood, Krishna assumed that his experiences in Mathura and Dwarka were just a dream. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksuram Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Vanchakalpa Tadubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Govardhan. A little crowd here today before me. I'm sitting in my room. Right before Govardhan. I'm not back here in Govardhan because Bhurijan and Satchinandana Swami are having a retreat on the other side of Govardhan, and I've been going for the classes between 10 and 2. Before we begin the text itself, I'll just share with you some of my Vrindavan life. I told this on Wednesday, but not many people are in the class Wednesday, so I'll tell it again. It's just seeing Vrindavan. Of course, I told last week the story of a lady who was blind, who needed help. Her and her husband, and I took her around Vrindavan, and such a good soul, and how much she was appreciating Vrindavan, how much she was seeing Vrindavan by her consciousness. And that's really the way you enter Vrindavan. When people go to Vrindavan, I really feel sometimes. A boy, John Prabhu, I'm listening to his classes, and you said a real key in devotional service is finding your service. Sometimes when we come, you look at what Prabhupada's service is, and you think that should be my service, to be the world acharya and travel all around, or you see someone who's very, very successful in doing something, and you try to. But that may not be your service. There's the example of Hanuman building the bridge for Ram, destroying the boulders, and the ant, was it? The spider was giving, and it's equally appreciated. We all can't be the acharya, we all can't be a celebrity, we all can't be. I like it. Bhurijan, he has his service. He doesn't try to correct all of his thoughts. You waste your time. So if it's your service, you do it. If it's your service, you do it. So I feel like my service, one of my main services, is helping people to appreciate Vrindavan, because they can miss it. But if they get it, it's such a deep experience. There's somehow, this lady, I met her at this Croatian kirtan retreat, and she brought me some olive oil, and then I showed her around, and I saw how much she was seeing Vrindavan. But I try to help people, so I have this little country path that I take people through. And so I was taking the group through this country path, and one way you see Vrindavan is you meet the real Brijbasis. And there's just beautiful forest gardens, and there's these simple people that live this idyllic life. And little kids, and we go through this little mud path, dirt path, and past these gardens, and I was walking with just a small group of pilgrims, and a person came from the other side, and I was looking at him, and his body was exploding with, like, joy. It was almost a natural laughter, spontaneous, that was coming through his body. And almost he was laughing. So we stopped him, and I through my translator, I began to speak to him, and I heard, you know, because one reason this area is so nice, it's the floodplains. So you really can't develop it to, although it's right near the temple, it's hundreds of acres, you can't develop urbanization. And, you know, in this year, you know, one of my friend's houses, built a house there, was washed away completely. And really, there was 8 feet of water. So this man, we're talking to him, he had 4 daughters, 1 son. He lost 2 lakh rupees because the garden, his garden was completely wiped out. It'll take him at least 1 year to reestablish it. And, you know, it's beautiful trees still, but a lot of the trees are uprooted. Things like rose bushes were just completely uprooted. So after a while, I just asked him, I said, how can you be so happy? And he said something so beautiful, which I think is the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's the essence of bhakti. And I think it's the essence of the Bhagavatam. I think it's the essence of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which we're studying. He looked at me and said, happiness is a heart filled with love. And that's so different from a modern materialistic conception of society. Happiness is so much dependent on things that are external. That's why sometimes you find the happiness index in the poorest countries are the highest. Because they have a life that more facilitates love. Like a village where your relatives and friends are. We're dying for that. I'm here with Jagadish and Yugala. They're smiling because now they live in Mayapur. And there's love. Family and friends in the same area. It's a simple life. So that's really what bhakti is. Bhakti is first realizing that what we are made for is service or love. And until we fill our heart with that conception, which is the exact opposite of the egotistical conception, we won't be happy. And we're so stuck in it. We're so stuck that we're the center, everything's objects for us, and if I don't get this, I won't be happy. If I'm not, you know. And you just see somehow that people that are happy with love in such difficult situations, Right now, one of the things I'm doing here is I've become a producer. I have an old friend who used to preach with me 25 years ago, and he had won a Hollywood award for filmmaking, but then gave it up. And then he went into some kind of business, and now he's retired successfully, and he's fully doing films. I've gone around Goldberg, and I've seen so many jewels of I've seen so many jewels of devotion that I think can be. So I really saw what a filmmaker is. He's so dedicated. I just have to arrange the expenses for his stay here and to get him here from Mayapur and get him an assistant. Anyway, for me it's a lot, but it's not that much. And he's working day and night. He doesn't want to miss anything. And in the evening, he comes back and tells me what he's captured. First of all, we're interviewing everyone from Satchinandana Swami to Shamdas Tirthi to Ramesh Baba to, you know, to people doing Prikram. But they took him, and there's one man that's been doing Prikram 108 obeisances in one place. So Vasudev and his kind of critical intelligence, he saw that the man was getting down on his knees but wasn't bowing down fully and throwing the rock. But he saw that this person was just filled with bliss. But in the critical mind, he thought, maybe this person is cheating. Maybe this person is cheating. Then he found out that the person's been doing it for 50 years, and he's 87 years old. So the guy told him, you know, he said, yes, he said, I used to get down, but now it's a little difficult. But just the act, you know, what a life. But it's a life of love. And bliss is coming out of his, because happiness is a heart full of love. And if you don't have that, that's why sometimes rich people are very unhappy. Sometimes the very richest people are very unhappy. Because they have the facility to control. And therefore they have the facility to be in the center. But they can never be on the periphery for service. And therefore they never experience love. And because they have money, everyone approaches them for money. And even the people who approach them for love, they think they're approaching them for money. So they never feel love. I knew one billionaire that wound up working for my friend as an assistant in his shop. And I said, why are you doing it? He said, I never worked before. I never worked it. But he did it because he wanted to shed the opulence and position so maybe people could treat him with love without any motive. So anyway, this film is great. I mean, yesterday I took him to the place where one family for generations for 500 years has been cooking every day in their family for the sadhus. The culture is that there are sadhus that go around Govardhan every day. There's some that go around twice every day, and there's a couple that go around three times a day. So how do they live? Well, anyone will give you a room in Govardhan in their ashram if you'll chant. And they walk around. They don't have to cook. They have to work. They tend to gear up, and So certain homes have been doing this service, and how wonderful for a home if 20, 30 sadhus come to your home every day. So the family is so, I can go there any time and get a full meal. And Satchinandana Swami said today in his class, and I believe it 100%, there's something called the Brijbasi roti. It's not a thin chapati, it's a little bit thicker, and it's with ghee and it's hot. Pizza has nothing on a Brijbasi roti. There's nothing more tasty in the world than a Brijbasi roti. And I go to their house, walk right in, Radhe, Radhe. To me, you know, they see me coming, they don't want to give me just a few rotis. They take me up to their house. So I took him there, and you know, he spent the day there filming the sadhus that are coming. He took the head of the house, who's the one that brought me there, very nice man. Very nice man. One time I went to Satchinandana Swami at Govindakund, and I didn't want to walk back. And so many sadhus I knew. You know, one sadhu I knew at a Jagannath Mandir, he really likes me. He's on the back of a motorbike. He stopped. Come on. And then this man came by, and the person who's on the back got off. Then he drove me to my place and came back. Nice man, right? And he interviewed the women in the house. They make chapatis without the rolling pins, just like this, but they're so expert. Did you go with me there? You went there with me, from Mata. Mira, you went there, right? Nice, right? You had those rotis? So filming so many nice things, that's it. And yesterday, Alex and myself, we did the debut of our drama group called The Monk and the Thespian. And about 150, 200 devotees, including Satchinandana Swami, very aesthetic sense, Bhurijan Prabhu, very critical nine. Jagat Tarini was a professional actress, and by Prabhupada's grace, it was practically a standing ovation at the end. The job, you have to really see Alex do Krishna Leela, it's something, and you know, somehow you have to have the films and someone plays himself, and it was Dhanadhar Swami as himself, as the monk, and we did Krishna Leela. Anyway, these things. So let me do this one thing. I'll do a little bit with the text today, but maybe if I can share with you, actually it's in the other book, there's another notebook, excuse me, some of the points that came across in the class, and then I'll get a little bit to Brihat Bhagavatamrita today. I have to say that to really do the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, I have to spend more time studying it. And these kind of days, you know, you finish your morning program and then you're out, and I don't get back. Classes don't until 2:30. And I take lunch with Bhurijan, and then there's so many people that want to talk to you and I haven't seen for a while. I won't mention directly because maybe they can even get in trouble, but there's even devotees that are coming, the sweetest people in the world that are Muslims from the Mideast. And even this one lady, a Muslim lady from the Mideast, I tell her every year, look, I'm a sannyasi, maybe I'll get a chance, so you're my favorite actress. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's really good. And to see them from the Mideast, and this year she brought her sister, and it was so nice, you know, her sister, you know, her hair's covered like a Muslim. Her sister does namaz 5 times a day. And wearing Gaudiya Vaishnav tilak. And saying, Braj, Braj. I mean, yeah, you know, to see Prabhupada's potency in Krishna consciousness, this Muslim girl with her head covered, she's so bright. Her sister is the one that's my favorite actress. But anyway, she goes, Braj. You know, the way she said it in this English with this, you know, and they're beaming, these ladies from the Middle East, beaming. Beaming. There's so many people I haven't seen, you know, don't get back late. But I do take notes, so let me read some of the notes, and I think that'll be an interesting contribution, because it is a Sangha. I don't have to be bound so Borizan, this is the point. He said, there's three important questions. Who am I? Who is my master? What is my service? That's spiritual life. We are not orphaned. Orphan in Sanskrit is anatta. You have no master. In Govardhan here, there's anattalaya, the place where people have no master, they're orphans. We're not orphans. So, yeah, very nice point by Borizan. Main question for us, what is my service? And that simplifies life. And then he said, we have so many contradictory parts of our lives. He's commenting on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's doing an incredible story, delineating the whole story of Maharaj Pratyaparija, which goes through seven chapters. How it's a spiritual journey. This great king and how Krishna deals with him, how Chaitanya deals with him. Lord Chaitanya won't associate with him because he's a king. And the nature of a king in a monarchical system, just tell him this to me, okay? The nature of a king. Jagadish, you need a charter? The nature of a king in a monarchical system is to rule the people. He may be a, what is it called, a benevolent king. He may be very expert, but still, you need authority. And authority can be, you can get authority in two ways. You can impose it by force, which is not the strongest authority, or you can command it by people's, you can command it by people's affection for you and the people's natural reverence. Now, the nature of masses of people is they serve greatness. Even today, you know, there's still a king of England. You know, people like greatness. It inspires them to serve. So a king would have accoutrements of opulence for that. That's why they have crowns and jewels. So a sannyasi or a monk would not associate with that person. So he was the king, but he couldn't associate with Lord Chaitanya, wouldn't he? Because he, Chaitanya Maharaj was a monk. The whole story, it's very, very beautiful how it goes. I don't know what this point was, but Satchinandana Swami is speaking on a book called Manasiksha. Manasiksha is Raghunath Das Goswami's Instructions to the Mind. He has 11 instructions to the mind, which is a summary of the... It's a handbook for Krishna consciousness. And he very nicely divided up and outlined it. And basically even illustrated the point. Someone brought out this big wood ladder and put it behind him. And he climbed up the ladder and he described really what the spiritual process is. If you look down to unrestricted sense gratification, look down to selfish pleasures and all the things in the world that have no connection with God or our growth, there'll be a force that pulls you down. You want to sit in front of the television, if you want to go to bars, you want to waste your time on the internet, it will drag you down in your consciousness. And if you meditate on spiritual phenomena, there'll be a force that will draw you up. And that's the choice that everyone has to make in their human form of life. You want to go up in the development of your heart and your God consciousness and your spirituality? So then he described how it is. You must worship, you must respect, you must meditate on Guru, Gosta, Gostali, Shu, Sujana, Bhushana, Ganesh. You know, it's thought, you know, Guru, then Vrindavan, and the people of Vrindavan, then the, you know, the names, the holy name, the Diksha mantras. So he's explaining it. But at this point, today he's delineating Vraja. The point, because he was just only have time in the whole seminar for one verse, describing Vrindavan, and he's describing the power of turning your face with humility towards Vrindavan. Even if you're in the West, turning your face with humility towards Vrindavan. So I like that point. And Borijan was talking about Srila Prabhupada in a very beautiful way, that he had the combination of having the highest consciousness, but at the same time being a very practical person. And how a real spiritualist is both. And then he quoted, his high school teacher. He said, it's okay to have your head in the clouds as long as your feet are on the ground, Prabhupada. He also made a nice point, because this king Tathaparuja, he was determined to get Lord, and Lord Chaitanya would not see him, and he even get angry if people approached. And historically, King Prataparuja, Borijan explained the history, was a very, very powerful king. And he was protecting Puri from the Nawab Hussain Shah, who Rupin Sanatan worked for him. And other, you know, he's very powerful. He became so frustrated. He says, look, if I can't get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, what is the use of my kingdom? If I cannot get his darshan, what is the use of my kingdom? I'm just become a mendicant. So then they approach Lord Chaitanya again. You got to see him, otherwise we're in trouble. And then finally, you know what to do. So he said, you approach all the devotees, and they should beg Lord Chaitanya on my behalf. And Borijan made a point. Let's say in spiritual life, you are really, when you hear these lectures, you really want to become serious, because There's a thing that you hear from people who are realized, and you hear the Shastra in a very, very clear way. It makes it, it separates it very, very clearly. What are pure objectives and what are selfish objectives? And somehow there's like a haze in our life. They're all mixed together, and we somehow think it is all spiritual. So he said, imagine if you were so determined to get the mercy of the Lord that you could petition all the devotees. Then you would think, do you actually want the mercy of the Lord? Do you actually want to be a pure, unalloyed servant of Krishna? Do you actually want to give up everything that is anartha, that actually has no value to that service? Now, where yukta vairagya, where balanced attachment, there are things that, there are certain attachments we need to have a peaceful mind. I'm not talking about renunciation, it's talking about a path. But whatever level you're at, there are a lot of things you keep, and I keep, and we keep, that have no value. You actually want to remove them now. But when you look at someone who's on a sincere spiritual path, they're determined to get the mercy of the Lord. And he said, to approach, to petition all the devotees, it means that you have no enemies. And Boyan John said, actually, he says he knows people who have no enemies. Maharaj Yudhisthira was glorified as a Jataksatru, the person who had an enemy, a Kshatriya. A Jata was never born of him. And I remember I gave this one class on forgiveness. I remember I was giving it in Moscow, and I was giving it in to one man, a very, very nice man. I mean, you wouldn't expect he would be a devotee, very nice man, but he had a company in the whole former Soviet Union that had 50% of the business of all greeting cards. He was the first person after the Soviet Union collapsed to start. They only had 6 postcards in the post office on like brown paper with no design. He started greeting cards. So he took me to lecture to his, people of his company. And I was doing something on karma, explaining it to them. And I did a meditation at the end to show, if you actually understand karma, what you do. If you want to give up, you understand that whatever happens to you, you've actually caused. But very practically, if you have some resentment, it's hard to give up the feeling just intellectually. So there's a technique where you meditate on someone who's harmed you, and then you feel it. So I'm leading the people through this meditation. And then I say, now, look at that person's face and replace it with your own. And it helps people drop the resentment because they understand, whatever it is, there was one person there and legitimately said they couldn't think of one person that harmed them. I knew the person and I believed it. They couldn't think of one person that harmed them. The boy can imagine that, being able to do that. Let me just see. And Boykin said, it's not that we are against everything, but we are against that which... Let me see. I may be running out of this section. Says it. Said if you want to advance, give up pride, because the first verse says that bhakti starts with give up pride, dumbha. Hypocrisy, arrogance. Give that up and worship Guru, Krishna, the mantras. So Satchinanda Swami is talking about pride. He said, if you want to advance, give up pride before Krishna makes arrangements to remove it. One more. Self-deprecation is not humility because you're thinking of yourself. Humility is acknowledging our insignificance because of thinking of Krishna. Again, self-deprecation is not humility because you're thinking of yourself. Humility is acknowledging our insignificance because of thinking of Krishna. And I was reading today, I'm having a little class here with some devotees, and we're reading Following the Angels by Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj. Yeah, and he made such a brilliant point. He was talking about if you want to worship the infinite, that when you get that connection with the infinite, which is what spiritual life means. When you get that connection with the infinite, then you feel, you become overwhelmed with all. You want to sit on a chair? When you connect with the infinite, which is what spiritual life means, and he describes, that means faith. Because the infinite is filled with impossibilities. And perception, logic, intelligence. You gonna take this? What? What's that? What? Okay. Perception, logic, it does not extend to the infinite. Only faith extends to the infinite. Because faith has unlimited expanse. But here's a point. So he says when you connect with the infinite, then you can have these feelings of insignificance. Let me see if I can find it. Here. I am neglected. I am left behind. I am excluded. I am so low. I am so contaminated. I am rejected from the infinite Leela. I could not realize this great fortunate wave. This should be the feeling of a real Vaishnav who has actual relationship with the infinite. As much as the infinite comes in contact with the infinite, the disposition cannot but be affected. It is not imitation. It cannot be but the real thing. When the finite, when the soul comes in contact with the infinite, it cannot help but feel limited and small. And that's the real Vaishnava, his natural humility. Anyway, I'll get a little bit of, I only have 10, 15 minutes for Priya Bhagavatamrita, but I'll get that too. This is such a nice point. We are very small, but we are willing to sacrifice only a part of the small. Talking about real devotee who gives everything to God. We are very small, but we're only willing to sacrifice a small portion of the small. Okay. Now a little Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and sorry, this is the way it's going today. Okay, somehow, hopefully, we're still connected. I'm just going to check the internet that we are. So in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in terms of our wonderful story, Krishna in separation from the residents of Vrindavan, goes into a catatonic state, and Lord Brahma comes, becomes overwhelmed himself when he sees the depth of Krishna's heart. Even though Krishna was his guru, Krishna was his father, but Krishna was above him and very distant and far, and to satisfy his relationship of reverence, then naturally the authority hides the intimate aspect of their loving personality, which is the glorious aspect of one's personality. So he sees him in this condition, an emotional condition where his full heart, where his heart is revealed fully. Usually, we don't let our God down. That should be a pun. We don't let our God down. We don't let our guard down unless we have intense love, you know, some type of intense emotion. Emotion just opens up what's inside. And if it's good inside, then you see the beauty. If it's bad inside, you see the bad. God is all good. When God is in an emotional state, His full glory manifests. And that's what this is going to be about. So Lord Brahma becomes overwhelmed, but then recovers himself and figures out a plan how to bring Krishna out of this state of separation by bringing him to this playground that Vishvakarma built outside of Dwarka. Krishna was in Vrindavan, he leaves Vrindavan, kills Kamsa, and then becomes the king in Dwarka. So they built Krishna, they were in the process of building a new Vrindavan. There, Vishvakarma, who's the architect of the demigods, recreated down to the detail in wax statues the flowers, the people, and everything in relationship to Vrindavan. So they bring Krishna and Balaram there, because when they went into this mood of separation and began sobbing and crying, both Balaram and Krishna remembering Vrindavan and the love of the residents of Vrindavan and how they must be feeling and suffering in separation from Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Every time they see Krishna in the forest, go behind a tree, they're feeling separation. So their kirtan is Krishna going through the forest, and when he goes, passes a tree, it's Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. He's hearing it, and it's drying up. People are not eating. It's just the intolerant mood of separation, something so deep. And they're thinking, so he's trying to revive them, so they bring him in this setting. And then somehow Balaram's revived, and they take off Krishna's crown, and his Raja Vesh is dressed as a king, and they give him his golden silk dhoti and his and his turban with his peacock feather. And then he's revived and he sees all these beautiful statues in an emotional state. He thinks this is his mother and that she's stunned out of ecstasy, and he thinks he's the gopis not moving and they're angry. And now he's looking at the statue of his mother and he's saying, well, mother, you know, I had this dream. And what the dream was actually what his life was, which was, you know, he went and he killed Kamsa and he killed all these kings and then he went to Dwarka. So now he's thinking that's a dream. And now he's in Vrindavan. So his only recollection of this is, I saw many amazing things in just a short moment as if I were awake. I saw that I had gone here to Madhupuri, and there wicked men Kamsa was slain, and the kings like Jarasandha were vanquished, and a demigod, and then a great city, Dwarka, was built. They found Dwarka was in the sea. They found basically remnants, archaeological remnants of Dwarka, in where Dwarka is. And so many other things happened, but there isn't enough time to tell them now. It's because this long dream distracted me that I didn't get out of bed on time like every other day. Because what happens is when Krishna wakes up, he looks at the sun and he thinks it's noon. It's like wild. It's like, you know, you go to sleep and you expect to wake up. I wake up very early, but let's say, you know, like I expect it's like 2 or 3 o'clock. And if I open my eyes and it was 8 o'clock, I'd be, oh my God. It's, you know, so Krishna is supposed to get up and take out the cows, and he sees it's noon, and he says, my God, this dream, this long dream, distracted me. Dear respected brother, if you don't think this wonderful matter impossible, I'll explain it to you in detail when we go this far. The Dalai Lama said, this dream is just too complex. You don't have these kind of dreams. They're so complex. And Krishna's assuring him, and he said, anyway, when we go to the forest, because we're late now, we have to take out the cow. So it's working. Krishna is now revived to some kind of consciousness due to now what he feels is union. And what's going to happen now, because Vrindavan is an intimate setting, so Krishna's full personality is going to manifest. The queens of Dwarka, because now he's married to 16,108 queens, there's eight main queens. Those eight main queens, when they saw Krishna in that condition, they followed him. But because they knew the plan was to create this, virtual reality or something, create this other reality that he's in Vrindavan. And if he saw the queens, he said, oh, this is just fake. So they hid behind the trees, and when they're seeing Krishna, it's going to come up with Radharani, even though she's just a statue. And they see in the Vrindavan forest, rural, intimate, sweet, Madhurya environment, the heart of Krishna that they've never seen before, the sweetness of Krishna, which is Swayam Bhagavan. It's the original full manifestation of Godhead because it's the complete manifestation of Godhead. The complete manifestation of Godhead. When are we complete? When we're in the office and we're hiding ourselves and posing, positioning? When are we complete? We're complete with those people that we love intimately, where we don't have to keep far and distance from them by authority and position. Then the fullness comes out, which is why there's different Prabhupads. There's one Prabhupada that's the corporate head of ISKCON that comes a little bit later, and it's glorious. Same as Pati Prabhupada, the general of the Sankirtan army. But those who know him before, that's not their Prabhupada. It's such a Vrindavan mood here. We're having a great time. That's not their Prabhupada. I had some of them telling me that's not their Prabhupada. Burjan Prabhu, he joined ISKCON before there was ISKCON. He joined in 26 Second Avenue. It was, and he says people who join them, they sometimes, he says other people don't understand them because they didn't join the corporation. It was very sweet, very intimate with Prabhupada. I heard even Prabhupada would have to wait online to get to the bathroom sometimes or something, But it was a little bit more intimate. So when do you see the full person? Think of people you know. How many of those persons do you see the full person? So Krishna is the full person of God. Krishna said, after speaking this way, Krishna offered his mother proper respects. Then the very expert Rohini sensed that Krishna wanted some food to take with him to the forest. So now, Rohini is actually in Dwarka. She moved there, but she was in Vrindavan, so she can be there. And she's actually able to move there, because she's one of the persons that's been in Vrindavan. So now she sensed that Krishna thinks, I have to go out with the cows. That he wants the snack, so that they would make these preparations that were rice mixed with yogurt. So Krishna's just moving his hands and signs, and Rohini's so smart and practical, she understands Krishna was thinking about forest food. And she reasons that the artificial Yasoda could not do it, so Krishna may become auspicious. He asked his mother for food and she couldn't respond. So to keep up the ploy, or whatever it is, the drama here, to avoid the potential disaster that Krishna realized, oh, this is not Vrindavan, and falls into deeper separation, Rohini moved into action before Krishna could say anything about being hungry. And they made Krishna rice and yogurt with beautiful descriptions of Krishna in the forest eating with a rice and yogurt. Or, and, you know, in the West, basically, we don't get real food anymore. So we don't really know what a natural thing tastes like. Like, you know, real yogurt. You know, and when I once went, actually, I talked about Sridhar Marja's, I read a little bit from his book. I went to see him in 1982 in his ashram in Navadvip. Very impressed. I mean, I never saw a philosopher, a devotional philosopher. It was wonderful. And I remember after he finished, he said, have some prasadam. And it was just puffed rice. But it was so tasty. And different people from different countries like different foods. People like me in Borjan like something has a crunch. A pretzel. It's rice, it's puff rice. It was just a simple thing. I'd never tasted any. There's a little fruit, maybe a little yogurt, and some puff rice. So Krishna's taking. Rohini said, dear child, your mother has no other son but you. She's so worried today by your extra sleeping that she now feels a bit ill. So I think we've talked enough. He's saying, you slept so much, Mother Yasoda was worried out of her mind. Why is my son like this? And we discussed before, a mother's emotion for the child leads to such an irrationality. Even in Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna was in the coils of the serpent, you know, and the meteors fell, oh, I think he must be dead. That's the mother's immediate reaction, I must be dead. And I told that story before, but it's apropos. When I stayed with my mother one day, I went out for the day. She had gone out someplace. And I came back at 8 o'clock at night, and I called her. I said, I'm coming. She said, oh, my God, I thought you were dead. I said, what do you mean? She said, when I saw the car, I didn't see the car there, and I saw your clothes there, I searched every room for a dead body. I said, couldn't you come up with any other conclusion? But intense motherly love is irrational by definition, because intense motherly love requires an object of mercy. So the mother can never see competence. The mother always has to see need, even where need doesn't exist. If she tells, Mother Yasoda, like extra sleeping. Oh my God, he must be dead. And Krishna's extra sleeping. It's a crisis. You know, call, you know, get the ambulance. I know friends of mine that are pediatricians, and it's a great doctor job because they make a lot of money. Why do they make a lot of money? Because mothers like to take their child to the doctor. And there's nothing wrong with 90% of their patients. The mother just wants to take the child to the doctor. Oh my God, he has a cold. Rush him to the hospital. So, anyway, we're seeing bhava, we're seeing devotion. And so he said the cows and Mother Rahim and boys attending them have already gone. You should quickly follow. I prepare some nice refreshments here and send them to you in the forest. Okay, we'll stop now. Are there any questions today? Hare Krishna. Would someone say hello to tell me that? Okay, good. I go? Hare Krishna, I'm just kind of wondering today if, yeah, it said the call's still on. Anybody like to say
hello? We can hear you.
Okay, good. Thanks, Rusty. Good. What happened is the when I first came to India, my old phone wasn't working, and I had it for the class. I had to get some phone, and someone gave me this high-end Nokia phone, and the sound seemed so much better. I kind of became attached to it, but then they wanted the money for it. And then on the plan that they got me for the email, it was really expensive to call America. So now I've got a SIM card that has the former thing, so I was wondering if it was working. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question?
Hari Bol, Maharaj.
Shastra, Hari Bol. Hey, Shastra, I'm going to stay on the 31st now in Puri, that extra day with you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Henry. Jai. Hey, Henry. You know, I did the drama with Alex yesterday. And I never saw him act before. But when he did this Krishna Leela, I mean, literally, it brought down the house. I mean, 150 devotees fell in love with him. And we'll do it in Washington now, too. And it was really good. Now, I know you've been going through his dramas, so you could understand how good he is. It was great. Okay. And he'll be coming back a little bit earlier, so maybe he'll contact you. He'd definitely like to.